There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Bing Crosby Show. It's the third episode of this season. It's 2020. This is the first one I've got a chance to introduce. The last two were Judy Garland and Bob Hope appearing on Bing's show. And I just went ahead and used the intros that were done by Mindy because she does such a great job. But I thought for this one I'd come on and talk to you. So this is the first podcast I'm doing for Bing Crosby's show with COVID going on during this time of the year in the fall of 2020. And I just think more than any of my other shows, Bing Crosby just helps people kind of relax and calm down, kind of just let you realize the world's going to keep going. We're in the midst of a crazy election time. COVID's going increasing in a lot of states. We got a lot of things going on. And it's just nice to have Bing come out and just entertain us. And today's guest is Claudette Colbert. Let me read you what it says about Claudette Colbert. This says, phenomena. Claudette Colbert performed a local miracle Monday evening. She was here to help Bing Crosby tape his October 25th show at the Marines Memorial Theater. A normal Crosby recording makes Olson and Johnson's antics seem anemic. Sometimes it takes an hour to do a 30-minute show. This time the backstage mood was dignified as a Theater Guild rehearsal. Credit goes to Miss Colbert. Her presence brought an unfamiliar decorum to the proceedings, yet it resulted in one of Bing's funniest shows. Miss Colbert rejected Bing's offer to play in his next picture with Bob Hope. She listed the stars she has featured with, Gable, Cooper, McMurray, Ryan, Grant, etc. Then explained, "Well, one is used to champagne. One doesn't like to switch to 7-Up. Her appearance was a pleasant interlude in a stormy series, but normal chaos should return next Thursday when Bing plans to host Al Jolson. And how I wish that last line would have come true, but Al Jolson will never appear on Bing's show again. He was set to appear next week on next week's show episode, but he wouldn't live that long, so unfortunately, never got a chance to. And that was just a neat story from the San Francisco Examiner from October 19th, 1950. So I hope you're going to enjoy this episode with Claudette Colbert and Bing Crosby. Some of the numbers you'll hear is Life is So Peculiar with Bing and the Rhythmaires, Harbor Lights with the Rhythmaires and Ziggy Elman on cornet. You'll hear Triplets Sketch with Bing Crosby, Claudette Colbert, Joe Venuti, and Ken Carpenter. La Vie en Rose with Joe Venuti on violin. And Mona Lisa. And I've always enjoyed Mona Lisa. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Bing Crosby. And I hope you tune in with us every week as we kind of have this calming presence of Bing Crosby to help us through these crazy times. Enjoy.
someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in San Francisco with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the mayors, and Bing's guest, Miss Claudette Colbert. Ah, bonsoir, madame, monsieur. Maintenant, c'est mon plaisir de vous présenter le grand chanteur, Monsieur Bing Crosby.
Merci, merci, Monsieur Carpentier. Vous êtes très français ce soir, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, oui.
Qu'est-ce que la raison? Pourquoi?
Pourquoi?
Oui.
Well, Claudette Colbert is our guest tonight, so
oui,
I thought I'd create a little French atmosphere. C'est une bonne idée, n'est-ce pas?
Pas, by all means. Where did you learn your French? From Hildegard? Did you study with Arthur Murray? Or what?
No, I studied French in high school back in Peoria, Illinois. Bing, how'd you get along so well in Paris? Your French isn't any better than mine.
Oh, it's not too important to speak French, Ken. The French are very alert. Okay. Say you go into a drugstore now, for instance. You just say to the clerk, give me a package of les bluges con plaster, les toothbrush, and les Fitch shampoo.
Oh, wait a minute. Why are you buying a bottle of Fitch shampoo?
Well, I can't think of the French word for toothpaste, so I just...
That might work out all right.
I think we better forsake the Champs-Élysées for a minute here now, Ken, and move along to something musical, huh? We have a nice tune here from the Paramount picture, Mr. Music, which will be out soon. It's a song entitled, Life is So Peculiar. Oh, life is so peculiar. You get so wet in the rain, and you get so warm in the sunshine, but it doesn't pay to complain. When I get up each morning, there's nothing to breathe but air. And when I look in the mirror, there's nothing to comb but hair. And when I sit down to breakfast, there's nothing to eat but food. Life is so peculiar, but you can't stay home and brood.
Yes, life is so peculiar.
The desert's only got sand. The ocean's only got water.
You never know where you stand.
When I go out to dinner, there's nothing to wear but clothes.
And whenever I get sleepy, nothing to do but doze.
And whenever I get thirsty, there's nothing to do but drink.
Oh, life is so peculiar that it makes you stop and think.
Life is so peculiar.
A bird can usually sing. A pearl is made by an oyster.
Man, you can't be sure of a thing. When I get tired of resting,
there's nothing to do but walk.
And when I don't care to listen,
there's nothing to do but talk.
And when I'm up in my airplane,
there's nothing to do but fly. Life is so peculiar, and I often wonder why. Yes, life is so peculiar.
A fork belongs with a knife.
Bow, bow, bow.
Corned beef is lost without cabbage.
Bow, 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 bow.
A husband should have a wife.
Well, you know that life is so peculiar, but as everybody says, that's life, that's life.
Well, ain't it a mess?
That's life.
That's a good tune, Bing.
Well, it moves a little. Thank you, Ken.
You know, it's true. Life is peculiar.
I guess so.
Gee, life is very peculiar.
Well, nobody's giving you beef about it. All right. Life is peculiar. What do you want to
people do? Are peculiar, too.
Are you leading up to something?
Well, Bing, when I say people are peculiar, I know what I'm talking about. You know that I know a fella who doesn't smoke Chesterfields?
Oh, really? Well, we better get through to that boy. Chesterfield is the cigarette that every smoker...
what to be smoking.
Well, they will be, Bing, when they find out how easy it is to prove that Chesterfields are milder.
Why, it's the easiest test in the book. You just get hold of a pack of Chesterfields, and you open them, smell them, and smoke them.
Open that pack and smell that milder aroma, an aroma no other cigarette has. Compare Chesterfields with the brand you've been smoking, and you'll see.
And then smoke those Chesterfields to prove that they smoke milder and leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, America's first cigarette taste panel, after smoking leading brands for over a year, told us Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
So make that next pack Chesterfield, and you'll always buy Chesterfield. Here's a tune I recorded twice, once about 20 years ago and again just last month. If I can get one more crack at it, I'll bet you I make a good record.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were parting. Those same old harbor lights that once brought you to me. I watched the harbor lights. How could I help if tears were starting? Goodbye to tender nights beside the silvery sea. I long to hold you near and to kiss you just once more. But you were on the ship and I was on the shore. Now I know lonely nights, for all the while my heart is whispering, some other harbor lights will steal your love from me.
I just want you to know the fellow that played the cornet solo in there was the great Ziggy Ellman, one of the greatest cornet players that ever lived. Let's go. You know, one of the more exciting spools of celluloid tooled down in Tinseltown this year is a current film called The Secret Fury. Now, the lady who stars in this Edge of the Cedar has consistently been a favorite of both film fans and us folks who live in Hollywood as well, because she's a wonderful girl. She's just as personable and as alluring off-screen as she is on. It is now, as always, a pleasure to greet Miss Claudette Colbert.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks. You know, I haven't seen you since you got back from Europe. You must have had a fine trip because you look wonderful.
It was a jolly jaunt, Claudette. Oh, say, I brought you a gift. Brought it all the way from Paris, especially for you. a can of perfume, and I made it myself.
Oh, now don't tell me you're going to start deep freezing that, too.
Say, that's an idea at that. Minute Maid fresh frozen perfume. In four delirious flavors. Bewitched, bothered, bewildered, and begora. Sweep the country, don't you think?
I think so. Well, I'm very flattered, Bing. But tell me, why should you spend your time in Paris making perfume?
Well, after you visit the museums and the palaces, your fella needs a hobby to occupy his time.
It's too bad you couldn't have gone to Paris when you were younger.
Claudette, when you're young, any town is Paris.
Yes, you win. Listen, you know, I'm on my way to Europe. Yeah? I'll be in Paris in a few days.
Oh, boy, you're lucky. I'd like to go back myself and hide out until television blows over.
I could do that.
Say, Claudette, did you know, I don't know if you read or not in the local prints, but Bob Hope and I are going to make a picture in Paris next summer.
No.
Of course, one little thing intervenes. We just don't have a script yet.
Well, that never stopped you before.
Well, we are indomitable, aren't we? But on the level, Claudette, we're really looking around for a story. We want something fine. As a matter of fact, we wrote to George Bernard Shaw, and we asked him to write a picture for us.
Did he accept your offer?
Not yet, but I understand that just as soon as his leg is better, he's promised to kick the daylights out of us.
Well, I hope he recovers soon.
Well, I hope so, too. I've never been kicked by anyone important, unless you want to count Paul Whiteman.
I'll bet Bob is really excited about going to Europe.
Oh, he gets excited if he goes to Pomona. To get back to the picture, Claudette, Bob and I still haven't got a leading lady.
No story, no leading lady. What have you got?
Just each other, and if that isn't a dull deal, I'm standing right there. It's going to be another road picture, you know. It's a great opportunity for you.
For me?
Yeah. This time, Bob wins the girl. We take turns, you know, on this thing.
Well, it's terribly sweet of you to ask me, Ben, but you see, I've played with Clark Gable and Gary Cooper, Robert Ryan, John Wayne, Ray Milland, Fred McMurray.
And,
Well, let me put it this way. When a girl gets used to champagne, she doesn't like to switch to 7-Up.
What a blow. This is a blow. I choose to think that you mean hope. Remember one thing, Claudette. I'm also in the picture.
Okay, 14 up. No, really, Bing, I'd love to make a picture with you and Bob, but I'm going to be tied up with a picture of my own next summer.
Oh, well, then maybe Bob and I can be in your picture.
It's quite an unusual idea for a picture, Bing. It's a series of three stories.
Well, that isn't so unusual, Claudette. Haven't you heard about Somerset Maugham's picture? It's called Trio.
Oh, yes, but those are three different stories.
Oh.
My picture's going to be the same story told three different ways.
Well, what three ways?
I plan to take a simple romantic theme and interpret it first as an American Western, and then tell it from the French point of view, and then the Italian.
Oh, I see. Oats, crepe Suzettes, and pizza, huh? Well, that ought to please everybody. But you know what you've done now? You've piqued the curiosity of our auditors here to such a pitch. I think, Claudette, nothing short of a preview is going to suffice.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the story of a woman's impassioned love for a violin and the man who strings her along.
Oh, you shouldn't. Oh. So arty, so continental, so Philip Lonsdale, isn't it? And just for this production, you know what we've done? We've engaged one of the world's great violin virtuosos, Mr. Joe Venuti. Mr. Venuti appears on the Chesterfield program tonight through the permission of the townhouse in Los Angeles, where his orchestra plays nightly in the beautifully newly decorated Zebra Room.
Mr. Carpenter, please set the scene.
Okay, gladly. Ladies and gentlemen, we now present Triplets, one great love story told from three different points of view. First, the American, in which Miss Claudette Colbert plays a girl of the Golden West. Bing Crosby is a cowpoke, and Joe Venuti pokes his violin. Our scene opens in the beautiful, newly decorated Zebra Room of the Buffalo Hump Hotel, located in Buffalo Hump, Wyoming.
Miss Lucy, when I was a little boy, I hankered for a pony. And when I was a big boy, I hankered for a horse. Now I'm a full-grown man. I realize that the chief hanker in my life is you.
Well, Buckskin, I'm mighty proud to be your hanker, Chief.
Well, then we'll get hitched, huh? We'll gallop through life double harness.
No, Buckskin, it's Fiddlin' Joe that's playing on my heartstrings.
Fiddlin' Joe? Why, he ain't nothing but a low-down, ornery, cussed, backbiting, horse-thieving, cattle-rustin' horn toad.
Yep. He's a musician, all right. Listen, it's Fiddlin' Joe. Listen to him scrape out his love for me. Oh, I can't stand it. It thrills me so. When I hear that violin, I'm just a quivering bundle of excitement.
Wrap it up. I'll take it with me.
I know you don't, you varmint. Miss Lucy's going to marry me and stay right here in Buffalo Hump.
We're leaving this town. We're going down south to Buffalo Rump.
Episode 2 of Triplets. Our drama will now be told from the French point of view. Miss Colbert discards her Levi's for a revealing Schiaparelli gown and becomes more alluring, more delicate, more soigné. Buckskin Crosby is transformed into a suave, polished, heel-clicking, hand-kissing boulevardier. Mr. Venuti remains the same. Our scene is the beautiful, newly decorated zebra room of the fashionable Hotel Fifi d'Orsay, located in Paris, France.
Bonjour, Claudette.
Bonjour, André.
Oh, my little cabbage.
Today I am wearing the sweater.
Oh, yes, my little stuffed cabbage. You know, Claudette, when I was a little boy, I wanted a little girl. When I was a big boy, I wanted a big girl. Now that I am a man, I want a woman.
I am a woman.
I'm a Frenchman, I could tell.
André, take me in your arms and smother me with your ardor. Crush me with your ardor.
Ma chérie.
Ardor. Ardor.
I am exhausted.
Voilà Joseph and his violon. Oh, what magic. He drives me mad with passion. His music sets my heart aflame. It burns into my soul. It ignites my whole being.
Vive la France!
Claudette, I beseech you. Do not marry this fiddler.
But Joseph is a great artist.
Bah, he is a disgrace to his French blood. He is a scoundrel. And he drinks California wine.
Oh, no. Joseph, tell me this is not true. Tell me André lies. Tell me he lies.
He tells the truth, Claudette.
Joseph, I can forgive you everything but this.
Today, I committed another terrible deed.
Oh, mon Dieu, no. What did you do?
I drank Le Coca-Cola.
Oh, no, ça c'est affreux, c'est horrible.
I told you he was a beast, Claudette. For drinking Le Coca-Cola, he will be sent to Devil's Island. Then you will marry me.
Oh, I'm sorry, André.
Then we will fight the duel. Joseph will play and I will sing.
You shall sing, he shall play, I will marry the winner.
Agreed.
En garde!
Je vais aller assumer les positions, monsieur. Apportez les violons ici.
Hold me close and hold me fast. That magic spell you cast. This is love beyond roses. When you kiss me, heaven sighs. And though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rosa. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart, a world where roses bloom. And when you speak, angels sing from above. Everyday words seem to turn into love songs. Give your heart and soul to me, and life will always be La Vie en
Rose. Well, the duel, she is over. What is your decision, Claudette?
Farewell, André.
Sacre bleu, I lose the duel. If only I had Gary for a second.
And now for the third and final episode of our gripping drama. It takes us to sunny Italy. Miss Colbert now forsakes her Schiaparelli gown for the simple garb of an Italian peasant girl. Mr. Crosby, who is to play the part of a simple Italian peasant, wears his street clothes. Mr. Venuti remains the same. Music, please, Mr. Trotter.
Maria. Maria, I think we get married. We have maybe a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bambinos, eh?
Pasta de spaghetti.
Bene, bene, molto bene. Marie, you no love me because you love Giuseppe Venuti.
I can't help but love Giuseppe. He's a great violinist, and he owns the largest garlic patch in all Italia.
Venuti le beata business tomorrow.
Why?
Tonight I pour a wick on his garlic.
Non lo puoi fare. È male.
It is not a dirty trick. Believe me, Maria, I will fix a Giuseppe Venuti and his violin. I will be a greater musician than he. I'm going to take lessons on the electric guitar.
But Domenico, our village no have electricity.
Then I take lessons on a gas guitar.
Here is Giuseppe now. That violin, that a song, that a music, that a garlic.
That a garlic.
Hey, where did everybody go?
Over here, Giuseppe, over here by the open window.
Yes, Giuseppe, come here by the breeze. I want to talk to you.
Domenico, che cosa fai? Vai fuori della casa di Maria, perché io ti do un martelluccio.
Martelluccio? Io ti do un martelluccio.
Domenico, Giuseppe, senza baruffa.
Maria, io ti amo. Andiamo, ci ammogliamo, eh?
Andiamo presto.
E io che faccio? What about me?
Tu vendi le patate. You go sell potatoes.
You have just heard Life with Luigi. Say, Bing, I was wondering, have you heard from Bob Hope since he went to Korea?
Oh, I sure have. Ken, I received 2 or 3 postcards, and you know what he did?
What?
He sent me a gift.
Really?
From Japan, yeah. It's the makings for a beautiful silk kimono.
Oh, did Bob send you a few yards of material?
No, just a couple of silkworms and a matchbox. I must say, those little fellas are working hard. I expect a yard or so of silk any day now.
Well, that's Bob for you. You know, it takes a real sense of humor to think of sending silkworms instead of silk from Japan.
Also takes a fellow who's a little cozy with a buck.
Oh, I don't know, Bing. I think Bob sent the silkworms, well, because he's a comedian. He can't do anything straight.
Oh, I think you're just boosting hope because he's peddling those ever-loving Chesterfields like we are. I gotta admit, though, that old Hula Hips is developing into a Chesterfield salesman at that. He's hustling a lot of cigarettes.
I'll say he is.
Of course, he owes it all to me. Well, you know, I was the gent who instructed him in the gentle art of explaining to our listeners how they could prove to themselves that Chesterfield is the best cigarette to smoke.
Oh, but Bing, that doesn't require any instruction. It's the easiest test there is. All any smoker has to do is get a pack of Chesterfields and open them, smell them, smoke them. Then compare Chesterfields with any other cigarette.
Right, Ken. Right. And friends, even before you smoke them, you can tell Chesterfields will smoke milder because tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder.
Yes, sir. That's the tobacco farmer's test. And after you smoke them, you have no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, and while you smoke them, you get more pleasure than any other cigarette can give you. Start smoking them, friends. Make your next pack Chesterfield. Here's one of the really big song hits of the year. I hope you won't mind if we do it again, just once more, before we tuck Mr. Trotter's arrangement into the standard drawer.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with that mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? Oh, that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, or just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
Well, I guess that about winds it up. My thanks to Claudette Colbert for joining us here in San Francisco tonight. Claudette, it was really very nice of you to fly up and help us out with this hokum.
Oh, I enjoy it very much, Bingo. Who's the witcher next week?
next week, Claudette, we got the finest kind of a star. A director from a metropolitan op, Miss Dorothy Kirsten. Molto bene, eh?
Hey, Domenico, what about me?
Next week at Giuseppe, you and your orchestra will be playing at the beautifully newly decorated Zebra Room in the townhouse in Los Angeles. Incidentally, would you say hello to Ed Crowley for me?
I will.
Claudette, I know that you'll have a wonderful time in Europe, and I know that you'll be very excited about the command performance in which you're going to participate. We'll see you when you get back, huh?
Thank you, Bing. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir, folks. We'll see you next week for Chesterfield. Best cigarette for you to smoke. Thank you.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Dorothy Kirsten.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Broadway musical hit, Revenge with Music, starring Gordon McRae and his guest star from the Metropolitan Opera, Nadine Connor. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we have a Latin treat for you tonight in the Arthur Schwartz Howard Dietz musical triumph, Revenge with Music. Nadine Connor will be the lovely Senorita Maria, and I'll play Carlos, the lucky caballero who's in love with her. But of course, everyone is in love with Maria when they watch her dance at Manuelo's Tavern, and especially when she dances the Tarantella. Oh, Maria, my darling, I've never seen you dance with such excitement.
Oh, why shouldn't I? My future husband is watching.
You hear what she calls me, my friends? In all of Spain, is there anyone lovelier than my Maria?
Oh, will you say that about me, Carlos, when we have been married 50 years?
Oh, sweetheart, I will always say it.
If there is someone lovelier than you, then I am blind, a man without a mind. If there is someone lovelier than you, but no, I am not blind. My eyes have traveled everywhere in hope that I might find a creature half so fair. If there is someone lovelier than you,
Manager of this miserable tavern.
What is it, Your Excellency?
Shh. Don't call me my excellency. I don't want anyone to know I'm the governor of the province.
Oh, of course not, your excellency.
No, tell me something, Manuelo. Who is this peasant puppy who makes love to your dancer?
He is Carlos, the local miller. A fine fellow. He and Maria are going to be married tonight. It is all arranged.
Then it must be unarranged by you.
Oh, but why do you want to spoil their wedding?
You are very dense tonight, Manuelo. I think you have been drinking your own wine.
Me? Me drink that stuff? You think I'm crazy?
Frankly, Manuelo, why should this beautiful and talented dancer throw her life away on a peasant when the governor of the province is interested in her?
But your excellency is married.
My wife is married. See what it's done to her. Manuelo, we must save your pretty dancer from such a fate. Stop this wedding tonight.
All right, your excellency, but I'm going to hate myself in the morning.
And where should we go for our honeymoon, Maria? To Andalusia? Pyrenees?
Oh, why should we go looking for our love, Carlos? We found it.
Oh, all my life will be a honeymoon, Maria. Married to you.
Maria, how I love Maria. There will never be a lovelier Maria than my own Maria. Beautiful Maria. I have only one idea. That idea is Maria. Forever, she'll be mine forever. Never, never, never will I ever let her be alone, Maria. Hear my heart, Maria. All day long it's singing me a song of love to my Maria.
Maria, I love Maria. There will never be a lovelier Maria than my own Maria. Beautiful Maria. I have only one idea, that idea is Maria.
Forever, she'll be mine forever. Never, never, never will I ever let her be alone, Maria. Hear my heart, Maria. All day long it's singing me a song of love to my Maria.
Maria,
never set me free. There will never be a girl like my Maria.
Maria!
Oh, let us celebrate. Drinks for everyone. Drinks for all, my friends.
Carlos, may I ask you to do me a little favor?
What is it, Manuelo?
It's just a teensy-weensy little thing. Really nothing.
Well, then name it, my friend. Isn't this my wedding day? What favor can I do for you?
Don't get married.
What?
Carlos, is something wrong, dear?
This fool of a tavern keeper asks us not to be married.
But why?
My dear lady, the governor of our province has taken a fancy to you.
The governor is a dog.
What did you say?
Oh, the governor.
May I trouble you to repeat that statement?
I'll be delighted. The governor of this province is a flea-bitten, mangy, and disreputable dog.
I admire your courage, my boy, but I'm afraid you will suffer for this.
Who's going to suffer for what?
My wife. Sugar crumb!
Don't you dare sugar crumb me. Now, somebody tell me why this strapping young fellow called my husband a dog, which he is. Well?
If you forgive me, your ladyship, it's because your husband wants to stop my wedding to Carlos.
Is that true?
Now, sugar crumb.
Sugar crumb, my foot. My friend, the governor apologizes to you for interfering in your personal affairs.
I do?
You do. In fact, he will perform your marriage ceremony himself.
I will?
You will. Now, perform.
Oh, can you believe it, Maria? That the governor himself actually married us?
Oh, Carlos, will we always be as happy as we are tonight?
As long as there is starlight, my sweet, and the music of guitars, how can anything ever come between us?
Song is in the air, telling us romance.
share.
Now at last we found one another alone.
Love like yours and mine has a thrilling glow of sparkling wine.
Make the most of time where it has flown. And the night and the music fill me with flaming desire, setting my being completely on fire.
You and the night and the music thrill me, but will
Manuelo. Well, Manuelo, what is it?
You are under arrest.
Oh, no.
Why? What have I done?
It's the governor's orders. You must come with me tonight.
I won't let you go.
Now, Maria, don't you worry.
But you've made the governor angry. He'll throw you in prison.
Nonsense. I'll be back before you know it.
Come, Carlos.
Until the pale light of dawning and day.
Turn to the second act of Revenge with Music in just a moment. 80 key railroad officials from 12 Western European countries have just completed an intensive 6-week study of American railroad methods and equipment. They have inspected railroad facilities of every kind and in every part of the country. In summing up what he and the other members of the European group have seen, here transcribed is Dr. Klaas Font, spokesman for the delegation and directory in the Ministry of Transport of the Netherlands. Dr. Funk.
Thank you. In my country, and I guess in the United States, some people have a simplified idea of railroading. Something like this. You take a track, put a locomotive and some cars on it, And there it goes. However, it is not as simple as that. These people do not realize what tremendous effort, technical inventiveness, and bold administrative skill are required for the realization of a modern railroad network on which a nation's life depends. But many people in big cities and friendly towns we have visited all over the nation do realize the vital importance of railroads to industry, agriculture, trade, and commerce. Without railroads, you would not have your housing, your food, and countless other necessities and luxuries. It is because of these vital contributions which railroads make that our European mission came to America. We have seen how vital and important the railroads are in this country. The same is true for Europe. How welcome it was to receive the invitation of the Economic Cooperation Administration to come to the United States to study your railroads and to see how you handle your vast amount of transportation by railroads. Deeply we were impressed with the enormous daily task performed, powerful locomotives, heavy trains, extensive switching yards. They all demonstrated to us how your railroads helped to make it possible and to maintain the high economic level in the United States. Now it is up to us to see what incentives we found to European railroads and European economy. A technical and economic task of great importance, certainly. But still more important is the fact that we Europeans and Americans did and will do our part in mutual understanding. May your trains continue to run through plains and woods and over mountains in this land of great distances. And may they continue to interconnect the multitude of things which make up the American way of life.
Here is Act Two of Revenge with Music, starring Gordon McRae as Carlos and Nadine Connor as Maria.
You understand, Carlos. I do not want to take you to jail.
I don't blame you, Manuelo. You're my friend.
I am?
Why don't we stop at your tavern on the way to jail? And then I'll tell you what a fine fellow I really think you are.
Oh, mucho gracias.
That fellow Manuelo, he's the most important person in town.
I am?
Manuelo is that fellow can bring anybody down.
No.
That fellow Manuelo, he's a recipe for curing a frown.
Oh, that's me.
No worry if you hurry to his tavern in the town. Manuelo's wine is the tonic to make you feel fine. You go away feeling gay. That is, if you go away, bring your guitar.
There's a dancer down there who's a star.
Where castanets are, there no regrets are. Bring your guitar.
Let fellow Manuelo be the most important person in town.
I will show you what a fine fellow I am. I buy everybody a drink, even me.
Manuelo, how can I enjoy your party with these handcuffs on my wrists?
All right, I take off the handcuffs. But Carlos, you will not run away?
Run away? Oh, Manuelo, how could I even think of such a thing?
Hey, Carlos!
Hasta la vista, Manuelo!
Carlos, come back!
Sorry to run out on your party, but I don't like to keep a lady waiting.
Is that you, Carlos?
Somebody much better. Are you lucky?
It is I, the governor.
What have you done with Carlos?
Forget about Carlos. I have come to serenade you. Let me see. My index finger on the E string. You and the night and the beauty. What woman could listen to that and not be moved? Fill me with flaming desire.
Bucket of water will put out your fire.
Huh? Wench, I'm drenched.
It serves you right.
But I'll freeze to death in these sopping clothes.
But then hang them up to dry.
But what will I wear?
There's an old house dress of mine on the clothesline.
Oh, an old house dress to think the governor of the province should come to this.
Maria? Maria, where are you?
What?
The governor's hat and his coat, his shoes, all his clothes. Oh, no, I can't believe it.
Tell me, Maria, how could you destroy what was more than divine? I am no longer your lover, for you're no longer mine. I'll give my heart to another, tear out this feeling for you. And in the morning you'll find what my revenge will do.
Let's see, I wonder if these clothes will fit me.
Carlos, where are you?
The hat, the coat. Ah, I look more like the governor than the governor does.
Come back again, Carlos. The governor will be very angry with me.
You may be sure I am angry with you.
Oh, the governor.
You let the peasant escape from you.
But I trailed him here. I trailed him here, Your Excellency. I thought he would return to Maria, his bride.
Oh, that faithless Rui cares nothing for Maria. Now I am off for the palace to offer my love to the governor's wife.
Kata, Your Excellency. That doesn't sound like the governor somehow.
What? Who stole my clothes?
May I help you, madame?
Don't call me madame. I'm the governor.
Oh, don't be silly, madame. I just said goodbye to His Excellency.
That's ridiculous. I'm My Excellency.
Well, Your Excellency's clothes just went that way.
An imposter has stolen them.
Well, you'd better steal them back, because your clothes have gone home to make love to your wife.
Hey, what a repulsive thought. I better hurry to the palace and straighten things out.
Manuelo, I've heard everything that happened.
I am confused, Maria.
I'm not confused anymore. Carlos promised to love me forever, but he leaves me on our wedding night to offer his heart to the governor's wife.
My star is low. It has fallen, and now I know love is over before the start. When your lover has a wandering heart, tenderest dreams apart, make the heavens an odd descend, for it seems the end.
Carlos. What do you mean by masquerading as the governor and making love to his wife?
I wanted to revenge myself on the old goat.
Who are you calling an old goat? You're an old goat.
Oh, he is not an old goat.
Oh, my wife.
He is the most romantic boy in all of Spain. Aren't you a sugar grump?
Huh?
Oh, the way you kissed me just now. I didn't know Your Excellency was so excellent.
I don't know what the woman's talking about.
I do.
Forgive me, Maria. I thought you'd been unfaithful to me.
Oh, darling, I forgive you.
Maria.
That's what I mean. That's the way you kissed me.
I did. I mean, I did.
Crumble me, sugar crumb.
Man kisses his own wife. I don't see much point in that. Well, anything to keep peace in the family.
Mm. Oh, sugar crumb. Mm. Oh, Carlos.
You know, a thing like this could catch on. Our thanks to Nadine Connor, Joe Vitale, Jeanette Nolan, Marvin Miller, and to our entire company. Revenge with Music, with book and lyrics by Howard Dietz and music by Arthur Schwartz, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Well, dear friends, next week we're repeating one of the best liked of all the shows we've ever done. It's the Kern Hammerstein masterpiece, Showboat, with our original all-star cast, Miss Dorothy Kirsten and Miss Lucille Norman.
I'll take a ticket for that, Gordon. It sounds like a wonderful show. Good night.
Good night, Nadine.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so, until next week, goodbye.
Revenge with Music was presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae will soon be seen starring in the Warner Brothers production, The West Point Story. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
Gordon McRae speaking, voice of Firestone, next on NBC.